This is the Aftermarket Radio Network. Hey, 10 years ago, Jerry Holcomb, one of the founders of Vision High Tech Training and Expo, self-diagnosed himself with Parkinson's. Learn how Jerry has lived with it and through it. This episode may hit home for you. The more you know, the better. From the Aftermarket Radio Network, it's Carm Capriotto with the Remarkable Results Radio Podcast. Let this episode be an inspiration to you. And thanks to our sponsors, Apex and Shopware, for providing this episode. You know, imagine walking into a simulated real-world shop environment with 10 service bays, lifts, and vehicles, where you can see product demos and talk capabilities, benefits, and how to use them in real time. Welcome to Joe's Garage, Apex 2022, November 1st through the 3rd in Las Vegas. Hey, be there and listen here for registration information soon. Joking aside, it's not just for kids who are addicted to their phones. You know, we buy food and almost everything else with a few quick clicks. Why not auto repair? Shopware's digital repair order makes it easy for customers to click yes. Learn more on the web at getshopware.com. Hey, back at Vision 2022 here in the infamous Remarkable Results Podcast studio, sitting on the edge of Expo Hall, which is going to open up in a few hours today. I am truly honored to have my friend Jerry Holcomb here. And for many people that weren't hanging with me back in 2016, and no, by the way, I've been doing this since 2015, and somebody reminded me, well, so Carm, when did you start? And I said, I've been doing it for 6 years, and they said, do the math, man, that's seven. And it just shook me. Don't know why, but I had this, Jerry, I had this number six in my mind until I realized, you know, 1,000-plus episodes and all the hours and all the great people and, you know, and being here at Vision for so many years. I interviewed Jerry Holcomb. Say hi.
Good morning, Carm. Good
Thanks.
Morning.
I'm talking about Jerry. I haven't even introduced him. SNS Service here in Kansas City. It was 2016. We probably interviewed in March. I released the episode in April, episode 129. And so we're in the 700s. So if you want to go back, it may be very difficult in your podcast player to scroll up that high. So go to the remarkableresults.biz website, type in Jerry Holcomb or 129. And listen, here's the big thing, everyone. 30 years ago, Jerry and his friend Doug Stoll started Vision. Thank you.
You're welcome. It's been good for us, too. We did it for everybody.
You did it for selfish reasons. You needed technician training.
Exactly.
The story is really incredible. Let me let you tell it about, you know, coming up with the seed money.
It was 1992. There was a group of us that had got together, formed this thing called a management peer group. And it was kind of a precursor of the 20 group. We learned about training. We learned about what's available. And we found out there's a whole bunch of stuff that we didn't even know about. So we decided we need to have a training weekend. What we set up to do was have training for technicians and managers and keep the price cheap enough that they could afford to bring the whole shop. Because there were so many training venues that only a tech goes or only the boss goes or whatever. We wanted to make this a whole shop deal. So we checked with a meeting planner. Where can we do this? She checked around and found out, okay, we can. Here's this hotel. It's got a trade show hall attached to it. They need $10,000 up front.
Whoa.
And Doug and I had no idea what we were doing.
30 years ago, they wanted 10 grand.
Yeah. All right. We had no idea what we were doing. The 10 grand pretty much knocked our socks off. And we thought, what are we going to do? Are we going to have to just cancel the plans? Thought about it a day. I called Doug and I said, Doug, I've got $5,000 in my checking account. He says, I do too. You want to do it? And that was where Vision started. We put our money in, had the event, made enough money on the event that we got our money back, and we had enough seed money for the next year.
It's a great story, and it's a story so worthy of the impact Vision has had. Your vision of Vision. Did you call it Vision back then?
We called it Vision 2000.
Oh, okay, cool.
We were looking to the future.
Yeah.
So here's 92. We thought 2000 is so far away, we'll never ever see it. And each year we called it Vision 2000 until 2000. By then, Sherry was really doing a lot for us, helping us. And we had a meeting. We said, what, are we going to change it? We're going to change it to 2001, and then 2 and 3. And we just decided vision.
Yeah, why have a new logo every year?
Exactly. Exactly.
Buy and get the logo paid for and forever have it. And of course, here, always ASA Midwest, and then you guys formed Milwaukee. I know you were very instrumental in making that happen.
Yeah, I was serving as the president of ASA Midwest at the time. Our members wanted more. Tried everything we could do. Finally decided we're going to have to start something else that we can control.
Yeah.
The benefits control what's going where. And the whole idea was based upon member needs.
So, Jerry, if you will, you know, you and Doug, the fathers of vision, part of why you're listening to this episode is to really understand a whole lot about Jerry, the struggles that he's had later in life and how he's overcome them, and how this will be an inspiring episode to many that either can relate to it themselves, Jerry, or people that they love that's in their area of influence. And when we did this episode in 2016, everybody, if you go back and listen to 129, Jerry shared this incredible story of how he discovered that he had Parkinson's. And here it is today. And every time I get a chance to hug Jerry at Vision, you know, I go back to the fact that you discovered this on your very own. What a great story.
It's been a little over 10 years ago. I started noticing my customers coming into the shop almost to a person said, "Jerry, are you okay?" And it wasn't, "Hi, Jerry." It was, "Jerry, are you okay?" And I thought, what in the world's wrong with me? When we walk, my wife and I got two dogs, and we love to walk the dogs. We always walked fast. Well, I was walking about half speed, and she got on me.
Pick it up, boy.
Exactly. And I said, "I'm doing what I can do. You know, I'm not doing anything on purpose." And so I've got customers telling me something's wrong. I've got my wife telling me something's wrong. I went to my regular doctor. He wasn't sure. I don't know what to do. So I thought, okay, I've heard that you got to, if in the medical field, you've got to do some of your own research. You've got to have advocates, things like that. So I started searching. One of the funniest things of all the problems that I was having was when I'd write my name, if I'd sign my name, as I'm writing the letters cursive, they get smaller and smaller and smaller. And by the time I got to the COM, it was just a squiggly line. I'm not trying to do this. I just can't understand it. So I decided I'm going to start researching myself. And the handwriting was the key that took me to the discovery of the Parkinson's.
Yeah, yeah.
I did Google searches, whatever. I found a quiz in a medical magazine or something like that. And it said, if you have 10 of these 12 things, there's a good chance you've got Parkinson's. So I read it. I thought, wow, looks like I've got a lot of these. Took it home, gave it to my wife. We sat in a chair. I said, I want you to read through these and see what do you think my score is.
Here's a test, yes.
Because you see me, mm-hmm. and I don't see some of this stuff. She went through it, and I got 12 out of 12. Perfect score. I don't know if that's what I was wanting.
And in school, you never had a perfect
exactly.
score.
But at least it gave me an idea of what we got to do.
Sure.
So I started checking with people, talked to Doug. He and I were really good friends, still are. And he said, I've got a friend that's got Parkinson's. He goes to this doctor. So I thought, okay, I'll see if I can go there. Well, they had to have a referral. So I called my doctor. I said, I'm convinced that I've got Parkinson's. I need you to refer me to a neurologist. He referred me to the same one Doug referred me to.
Oh, wow.
So
that's good.
It made me feel good. Went down through this stuff, did all the testing, and it's some weird testing. Make you touch your nose, you know, stuff that you wouldn't even think of doing. She said, yeah, I'm 99% sure that's what you've got. She says, there are no tests, like a blood test, that'll tell you this thing, because it's all neurons mm-hmm. that they're dealing with. But she put me on some meds. All of a sudden, I could handwrite. I could write things the same size. I didn't shuffle my feet near as badly. Just everything started looking better. And by then, I was paying more attention to how I was getting along because I wanted to know if I'm getting worse or better. I've been going to the same doctor's office. They've changed doctors on me 3 times. They adjust the meds to give me the best use of motion that I can deal with. If something's not working, let's try something new.
Yeah, you were telling me yesterday that it's a different cocktail when you think you need a change or a boost or something.
Yep.
Amazing.
Yeah. So over 10 years, it's been going on.
And you go in every day. Jerry's a testament to never quitting.
Yeah. I work every day. I still work in the shop. And I'm convinced, and my doctors agree with me, that me going in the shop, bending down, setting lifts, pulling this, pushing that, is the best thing that I could ever do for my Parkinson's.
Did everybody hear that?
They've got people to deal with Parkinson's. Boxing is obviously or evidently a real big deal because it stimulates whatever brain cells and all this. I didn't want to box anybody. I'd probably get the crap beat out of me. But I feel good when I go into work.
Hey, if you're like most people, it's becoming increasingly difficult and time-consuming to keep up with changes in the industry, especially those driven by technology. But there is one event that will keep you and me ahead of the curve, and that's APEX, the Automotive Aftermarket Products Expo. The resounding best feature of APEX last year was Repair Shop HQ and Joe's Garage. It is dedicated for you, the service professional. Now there you'll see the latest new products, you'll learn about emerging technologies, you'll hear about the hottest trends in changing consumer behaviors and attitudes, and most importantly, you'll learn how to prepare your business for the future and not be left behind. This is the one show to attend if you're serious about staying ahead of the curve and growing your business. Don't miss out. Mark your calendar now for APEX 2022, November 1st through the 3rd at the Venetian Expo and Caesars Forum Conference Center in Las Vegas. To learn more, visit aapexshow.com. Now, housing is already open and registration will open May 2nd, 2022. Hey, visit aapexshow.com. You know, when you started in business, did you really think that cars would be driving themselves and that people would be buying cars online without even test driving them? Well, I don't think any of us did, and yet that's exactly what's going on. On the repair side, the auto industry is changing fast. Customers expect quick answers and proof that they need the repairs you recommend. They want to pay you while buying a coffee and then rate you on Yelp after picking up their keys. So why stay in the past? A shop owner named Carolyn asked herself the same question, so she created an online shop management system that automates the stuff you do over and over again. She and her team added texting and every step in the process from booking your appointments to posting that stellar review. They learn from their customers just like you learn from yours. And it's the system that's leading the industry into a bright future. Check it out at GetShopware.com.
We did a recent Carmcast, and Brian Kelly from the Northwest, he's part of the AutoCare Alliance now, and it was a show on being healthy, and he says, I go to a boxing gym, and so I called him Rocky, so I added the name Rocky, and frankly, Jerry, I did not know that you could go to a boxing gym just to, not only hit someone else, but to, hit bags and stuff, yeah.
Yeah, evidently, it's a really great way to do all this.
Yeah,
I'm doing it other ways. That's how I feel anyway.
Jerry's such an incredibly humble guy. I would never talk about himself, but he's won so many awards. You were an ASE Master Tech. I mean, maybe you still are. I'm not sure, but AMI honors. AAM, so many other accolades over all the years, and of course, with you and Doug, the fathers of vision. But one of the other things that I found so fascinating about Jerry was he's a techie. And I don't know if you still are and you still dabble in it. But in 1983, you told me I bought a Tandy Radio Shack computer in 83. Now, that's only just 39 years ago. He was brilliant to think I got to start tracking my numbers, right?
Exactly. When I got the business, we actually sold gasoline, too.
Ah.
And I hated it. I had always hated it. But it was just part of the deal. And so we had daily sheets. E.K. Williams, I think, was the name of the company that put these daily sheets out.
That's right, yes.
And you'd write down all your sales. Mm-hmm. Oil, hair, gas, blah, blah, blah. And I thought, I hate this every day. I need to find a way to do this. Like Carm says, I was kind of a techie. I still am a little bit. And I bought this Tandy Radio Shack. It was an all-in-one unit, had 2 5-and-a-quarter floppy drives.
Man, no one knows what those are.
I know. And one was the program, the other one was the data.
Yeah, yeah.
You know, pull from the program and write to the data. And had a guy that worked with me, and I can't say worked for me because he was close to being a partner. He worked with me for 21 years. He left me because his sister won a $47 million Powerball. He says, Jerry, I'm not going to be able to work for you anymore.
What a nice sister.
But anyway, when I bought this computer, setting it up in my office, and I had to learn basic programming.
Oh, wow, yes.
To write this particular program to do my daily book.
The C prompt.
Yeah. I just studied and did what I could do. This guy's name was Reber. It's a very unusual family name. He'd come into the office and say, what are you doing with that computer? Nobody uses a computer in a garage anymore.
And they never will.
Exactly. Pretty soon they came out with a business check writer program. Write a check, it gives you a report of the accounts that it went to. I added that in. Got a little farther and I thought, I need a DOS. Because I don't think they were even using Windows back then.
For sure not. But how big was the screen? 5.5 inches?
No. The one I got...
12?
Probably.
Okay.
I've just always loved getting involved and finding out how things work and trying to utilize it.
Again, let's think about the visionary with the computer, the visionary with vision, and of course, TTEF, the Technicians of Tomorrow Educational Fund. You started that too, didn't you?
I had a lot to do with it.
Okay. Again, humble guy who probably was the seed of an inspiration to do this. And yesterday I had a chance to interview Eric Dallas, who won. What I love about Vision is I just know so many people here, and all of a sudden, Carm, you got to interview Eric Dallas. This is the coolest story in the world. And they just brought him in, and I said to Tracy, we were packing up. We were getting ready to go try to take a nap before the night activities came up.
Right? Yeah.
And he came in, and I said, sit down, let's do this interview. And what a great young man. I mean, he was one of the scholarship winners.
Yeah. Just reading through his application, just that one application made you look brighter at the chances of getting young people into this.
I know, honest to God. Just kudos to the people that you're picking, you and your team. I know you've got a team. I know what these kinds of honors and awards, I've served on boards like that, and I've been the person that had to read and make a determination and a judgment, and it's sometimes so tough to do.
It's really tough to do. We talk about a lack of technicians. I think we had 144 pages of application stuff this year to go through to pick 4 scholarship winners.
Wow, I mean, really incredible. And all the sponsors that supported the shirt, right, goes to TTEF?
Yep.
Well, we gave for that, too. So Remarkable Results Radio's logos on the back of that shirt, we were so happy to contribute.
When I was talking to Sherry, I said, I want my name on there. Here's my check, or my shop logo. She says, for only $2,000 more, you can have the other sleeve. I said, no, I'll stick right where I'm at, because I've contributed several times, and my family has contributed even more in my honor. They know how important it is to me.
I know. That's a great moment to talk about, Jerry. Think about the succession that's gone on in our industry and some of the children that were in a succession plan. Now they own the family business. What Jerry brings up is a great idea. Why not give in honor of mom and dad, or dad who's run the business? We don't want them to leave this world. We don't want you to give just in the honor because they're no longer with us. Give in the honor that they ran a great business for 30 years and they were able to pass it to the family. I mean, that's a great idea. Give money in honor of your dad or your mom.
Another thing with the TTEF, memorial scholarships. We've got several.
Sure.
And it'll be announced Saturday night at the award ceremony. But we had a gentleman from Springfield, Missouri. Tim Cummings was his name. He served as ASA Midwest president for several years. He was the general manager of Rick's Automotive in Springfield, which is a fantastic, beautiful shop.
Mm-hmm.
And he was diagnosed with MSA, multiple system atrophy, I think is what the MSA. And he thought he had Parkinson's. Many of the same symptoms, many of the same stuff. But MSA turns out to be a death sentence.
Oh, dear. Yeah.
And so we lost him this year. Rick's Automotive wanted to have a memorial scholarship for Tim. And if Rick wouldn't have, I was probably going to do it anyway. Rick took that extra step, and he contributed enough to the TTEF that it's going to be a perpetual scholarship.
Yeah.
The interest, the money he gave will let us bring somebody new every year.
And that's something that a lot of people don't know, Jerry, is that it doesn't really take a ton of money to put it in. If you get the investment right, you give the scholarship money from the investment, it just keeps earning and earning. And we have some really great years in the stock market. Maybe you can give two. But yeah, that's one of the great ways to have a perpetual scholarship.
Yep. Yeah, I was just flabbergasted when Rick came to me and says, "Jerry, I'd like to do this."
Wow. Cool.
Yeah, it was cool.
Yeah, there's so much going on. Jerry's a testament to living with it and through it. I so admire that about you. And yeah, this is a great podcast about Jerry. And Jerry's one of the funniest guys that I know. I just love you, man. Everything that you've done for Vision, Mwaka, and all the people you know.
I love this industry. I love what I do. I love going in the shop every day. I get to see people. I get to tell jokes.
Jerry's so funny that I shipped my 80-pound studio case to his shop. And, of course, FedEx pinged me that it arrived. And Jerry wrote to me and he said, "It arrived. What did you send this dirty, old, ugly, beat-up case to me for?"
And I said, "Empty case."
Yeah, empty. That's right. Empty. So, yeah. Anyway, so it's just good to have your humor in life. And thank you for taking my case. I appreciate that.
It was my pleasure.
And so I screamed at him and I says, "Listen, when Tracy and I land, we're going to come over. We'll get one of those big SUV things from Lyft and we're going to go to your shop." And he writes back and he goes, "It'll be in your studio." And I says, "If you pick that thing up, I'm going to kill you." And I don't know how you did it, but thank you for having it brought into the studio.
The people at my shop really care for me.
Oh, yeah.
And watch out for me. Shelly, that's been with me for 25 years, says, "You're not going to lift that in there by yourself." I said, "No, I'm not." I said, "Grab a hold."
So, what?
So she helped me lift it in there.
Oh, my God. You just wanted that. You wanted that strength that day. You wanted that resistance, huh?
Well, I can still do things.
See? Yeah, and that's what he said earlier. I got to go get on my knees and I got to set the lift.
Yep.
Oh, my God. It's so funny. And your people, Jerry, I think part of the message I think we talked about back in 2016, and I wanted to resonate again with everyone, your people were so supportive to getting you through this and living, as I said, with it and through it. Great people.
Unbelievably so.
Yeah. Why don't you tell the industry as we close this episode off, Jerry, the ones that didn't come to Vision, ask them why they're not here.
I don't know how to ask them, Carm, because we've been asking ourselves that for 30 years. We're in Kansas City. I've not done it, but I bet if I got the list of people that are attending here, I bet 80% would be from out of town, 20% in town. There are shops that I go to, ask them, "Are you going to Vision this year?" "What's Vision?" It just slays me. It's not from lack of marketing. I guess it's just they're in their own zone.
Closed off.
Yep.
They see something and they don't ask what and why. I have never met so many people come up to me and says, "Hey, Carm, shake my hand. We're meeting people." And he says, "Let me introduce you to my team." And as the team gets bigger, and this is Joe, and this is Bob, and this is Susie, and this is Sally, and I go, "Did you close?" Because that's the next question I ask, because I see so many people here. And I've gotten so many yes answers.
Tremendous amount this year.
Yes. One's budgeted $30,000 to take his people to Vision. One's budgeted $20,000 without airfare to take his people to Vision. And they close. And all the excuses that anyone can make for not attending training and closing the shop, he says, "The customers know. We do it every year. It's on our voicemail." And tell me the revenue excuse. What's that like? And they all say, there is no revenue excuse, because when we get back and we rally the troops, we always have the best march we've ever had.
I've seen that too at our shop.
Yeah. And so why do we tell this story? I'm not getting paid to tell that story. We just know it works, it's healthy, it's right. But my point is there's more and more. Closing down, bringing the team, picking the classes, networking, having time to have a cocktail, a Pepsi, a dinner together. It is more. Coming to Vision is way more than training.
Yes, it is. I got here Wednesday morning to see all these old friends. One of the things I've noticed on all the, not all of them, but most of these first-time attendees is their youth. They're fairly young. And that just makes me feel really good.
It does. It does. And you're right. I'm not surprised, because now I don't know how many years I've been here. The young technicians, men and women that are here, continue to astound me, which means we have an incredibly bright future. And they not only want to learn and be at the top of their craft and be better mechanical and or diagnosticians, but they can help set themselves up for their own future of buying the place that they're at or starting their own shop. I mean, because all of that business acumen, be it technical or business management, exists here. This is the place to get it.
And I don't think there's any place better.
Yeah, I know. I hear you. Thank you, my friend. I appreciate you being here. I continue to wish you all the success in the world.
Thank you, Carm. Appreciate it.
Jerry Holcomb, S&S Service, one of the founders of Vision 30 years ago. I'm glad you could make time for us.
Thanks again.
Thanks for being on board to listen and learn from the premier automotive aftermarket podcast. Until next time.